Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember Margaret McElderley. She'd served as a grade school principal to the age of retirement. She had told members of her staff that she was looking forward to having more freedom to travel without having an eye on the school calendar and the responsibilities involved. By now, Margaret had grown children, and they wanted to give Mom a really nice retirement gift, something that would give her joy and wouldn't just be thrown away like wilted flowers or eaten like a cake. So they gave her a puppy. An end of the travel plans. Nice gift, but Margaret was less than thrilled. Have you ever received a gift, maybe a really nice gift, but it wasn't what you wanted? Well, this reading for the Gospel tells Mary a wonderful gift that was wrong for her in so many ways. Now, you've probably heard of the Rosary. Perhaps some present in this worship service grew up learning and praying it. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." The Rosary prayed repeatedly with the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, after I think it's every fifth one. I recall one young woman about to be married who had taken instruction and joined our Lutheran congregation, and she asked one last question: "Can I still pray the Rosary?" I was a little surprised by that, but fortunately I knew enough church history and enough Lutheran theology to say yes, you can continue to pray the Rosary. But what I'm getting at, friends, is to take another look, to listen to the words Mary heard from the angel Gabriel, "Hail, favored one." And the words of Elizabeth a few verses later, "Blessed are you among women." We know the story well. We know Mary's son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have seen artwork, beautiful artwork, depicting Mary. Mary and Joseph and the manger scene. Mary with baby Jesus. And we so easily get caught up in the beauty and the piety. Now, we'll come back to Mary's response. But at the moment, let's think about what was happening and the impact that this would have on Mary's life and in Mary's world. And maybe it will help us think about what it means to be blessed. Many of us have a basic understanding of blessing as meaning prosperity or health, family harmony, success at some job or endeavor. overcoming or avoiding hardship and hard testing. When someone says, I have been blessed, doesn't it usually mean something like that? But if we think in those terms, this text and Mary's experience turn all that right on its head. From what we know of marriage customs of that time, Mary was probably in her early to mid-teens. The time from betrothal to marriage was a year or possibly more, and pregnancy before marriage was profoundly shameful, even more than when some of us were children and can remember family problems with that sort of thing. It meant rejection. It meant, even according to the laws of Leviticus, now if those were still being observed strictly, it could even mean stoning. If we follow the story, now these are all things we know. Mary will not only be an unwed mother, she will experience the burdens of being pregnant, the pain of childbirth, and she will one day see her son nailed to a cross, crucified as a criminal. Blessed? Should Mary have asked Gabriel for more information? I'm not trying to make light of this, but I'm trying to have us look past the pious image that sees only the sweet, holy, wonderful part of it. Mary is being faced, friends, with a monumental challenge. To be sure, she is puzzled. She is perplexed. She knows there is something strange even beyond the greeting from an angel. The grand promise of what this child will become. Did you hear the words of Gabriel? Son of the Most High, mentioning a throne, reign, kingdom. She is betrothed, but there is no immediate prospect of a child. So Gabriel spells it out. You think you're too young? Your relative Elizabeth thought she was too old. Nothing will be impossible with God. But then comes the moment that the church throughout the centuries has found most remarkable, and that is Mary's response. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Friends, with those words, Mary not only accepts this monumental challenge, this unimaginable gift of becoming the mother of Jesus, with those words, she becomes for all time a model for the church, a model of discipleship. Through the centuries, the church has said a lot of things about Mary. The Catholic Church, along with the Eastern Orthodox Church, venerates her to a degree that makes all other Christians a little uncomfortable. Not only ever virgin, but the thought that Mary herself was conceived without sin. She is called the Queen of Heaven. Congregations are named Sacred Heart of Mary. And then the doctrine established a few centuries ago that she was taken to heaven without experiencing death. Others, on the other side, see her simply as a good mother. In this chapter from Luke, she sees to it that the proper religious rites are performed. And with Joseph, she faithfully attends the festivals. Now, very recently, there's another element of this. Some have noticed that very little is said about Joseph beyond these infancy narratives, and have come to see Mary as a feminist ideal, not needing a man to make her life complete. But the Gospel of Luke shows us something else. There is something else in this Gospel, and that is Mary as a model of discipleship. If you're a follower of Jesus, try to be like Mary. In her words to Gabriel and in all that follows, she showed humble trust and obedient service. Her words, "Let it be with me according to your word," sound a little bit like Jesus' words from the cross. Not my will, but yours be done. Why does Gabriel call her favored? Why does Elizabeth call her blessed? Well, yes, because she will be the mother of the Messiah, but not only that. Also because she believes God's word and is willing to have her life shaped and controlled by what God has said, by what God is doing. In that willingness, Mary is transformed from a peasant girl to a servant of God and a faithful disciple. I think most of us did not buy the degree of veneration Mary receives in the Roman Catholic Church, but we may neglect to give adequate recognition. to forget that all generations shall call her blessed. But again, what do we understand it means to be blessed? If our usual point of view is on track, Mary was very strangely blessed. Disapproval, shame, pain, seeing Jesus crucified, blessed. But here's the point, friends. What if blessed is not related to success or achievement or being honored by others? What if to be blessed means to be connected to be obedient to the working and will of God in this world? What if we took a break from the TV and newspaper blasts and read again of the ministry of Jesus? What if we pondered the powerful messages of Amos and Isaiah? What if we thought about people like Martin Luther King Jr. and Dietrich Bonhoeffer? What if we really heard the first sermon of Jesus in Nazareth? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So how do we get connected to God's purposes in the world? What does that mean for our neighbors, for our planet? I can think of a lot more questions than answers, and I'm sure you can too. But take any of the issues swirling around us in our society today, homelessness, or racism, or the environment. What would it mean? What would it mean in our minds and in our lives if our priority was to recognize that in every case our call is to serve God? In this time of pandemic, how do we hear the words of St. Paul? Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. What's remarkable about Mary's response is that she didn't seem to think of self-interest, but simply declared herself to be ready to serve the Lord. Friends, this will not make you healthy, wealthy, or wise. It will not make you popular or successful. In fact, it may make you unpopular or involve other costs, because the world, the ways of God never line up with the ways of the world we live in. Jesus was crucified, you recall, as a consequence of his faithfulness. All but one of Jesus' 11 disciples, leaving out Judas, all but one of the others were martyred, means being killed for their faith. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul lists the sufferings he endured as a missionary for Christ. And even in the movie, Oh God, which I mentioned last week, John Denver's character has a price to pay. But we are called. So Mary, this morning, we honor you. We call you blessed. And in awe of your willingness to pay the price asked of you, we pray that in our world, each in our own small way, we may find the courage to accept being strangely blessed, as were you, and to declare, here am I, the servant of the Lord, that we may be willing to receive our Lord and serve him always. Amen.